smile with the beautiful sea of life. When some glad tomorrow with the saints I'll stand. Gonna put on a crown and walk around over God's promised land.
Oh.
Good morning, 12th Street. Boy, if that didn't get your blood going, then you need a shot of something, maybe some espresso this morning. But it's great to have you here this morning. I am so thankful for 12th Street Baptist Church. I'm thankful for every single one of you because God has brought us together in a very unique and special way. And as he's brought us together, he's brought us together to minister and help each other. And so I can say with the clearest of consciences that I have just great love and respect, and I'm so thankful for 12th Street Baptist Church. And I hope that you had some time to share things that you're thankful for and that you enjoyed your Thanksgiving. And it seems like this time of year, things really pick up steam, right? It's like the snowball at the top of the hill right now, right? And it just starts going, and it accumulates, it gets bigger, and so we've got a lot of great things going on here at 12th Street. Today, after the morning service, just real quickly, we have a real quick meeting, just a few items of business that we need to hit on very quickly. And then in December, at our meeting there, our meeting in December will be the 18th. That's the scheduled meeting, and that's when we will vote on our budget for 2017. So if you can't be here the 18th, we will try to make sure that budgets are available maybe a week before that so that everybody can at least take a look at it. And I'm excited about the things that God's going to do in 2017. And we have Christmas is on Sunday this year. We have a Christmas Eve service at 7 p.m. That would be on Christmas Eve, Saturday night. And then We still will have a great church service on Sunday. I'm looking forward. We got some great plans for that. And then New Year's, we'll reveal our theme for 2017 and got some big plans for 2017. And so I hope that you are just excited about what God is doing and what he's going to do. We filled 117 Christmas shoe boxes. And so thank you, everybody who helped to put those together. We are still in need of some more people to sign up for snow removal, so if you'd like to help with that, you can sign up at the Welcome Center. Next Sunday is our holiday church potluck, and so the church is providing ham, and if you could bring a side dish, and then when we are done eating, that's when we'll try to get everything decorated for Christmas, And if you haven't let the office know that you would like to adopt a tree, but you would like to, give the office a call. There's some information in your bulletin about the adopt a tree that we're doing. And if you're not adopting a tree, but you'd like to just stay and help us set things up, we would sure appreciate that. The more people that stay, the quicker we'll get it done. And it's always a good time of fellowship as well. Upward basketball, the kickoff for it is this coming Saturday, December 3rd. And we have evaluations on December 3rd and December 10th. What that means is the kids come in, we have them dribble a basketball, we have them slide up and down the court and shoot baskets, and we need people that can count to 10. So if you have all of these digits, then you are qualified, okay? And if you can read a stopwatch, all the more better. You're highly qualified, okay? But we could use lots of help. Right now we have 80 kids that are registered. Last year we had 88 total. And usually we'd pick up about 40% on registration days. That means we should have over 120, maybe 140 kids this year for upward basketball, which means a lot of kids that need to be evaluated. So we could sure use your help. If you could be here, or first of all, tell Pete Pollard if you're able to help. Where's Pete? He's probably out in the lobby. See Pete and tell Pete that you would like to help, because Pete is he's running our Upward program. And if you can help, we need you here. The evaluations start at 9. We need you here at 8:30, okay? That way we can get everybody in their station and lined up. And we're done at 11, okay? And last year, all the kids got through before 11, all right? So we're done at 11. So if you could help with that, we would sure appreciate that. There's a ladies' ornament exchange and dinner, December 5th, 6 p.m. at Chili's on Westnage. And please keep your ornament under $10. And there's a sign-up sheet at the Welcome Center. So ladies, we'd like to encourage you to be out for that. And the LAC Christmas dinner with Wings of God is December 6th at 6 p.m. The ladies are just going to be eating a lot. And they're going to go bring in your items for the totes on that day, and you should know what that means. And then the Secret Sisters 2016 reveal dinner is December 16th at 6 p.m. And bring a dish to pass or a treadmill to trot on. All right. I think that's all the announcements that I need to go through. Awana does start back up this week, and so just want to make sure if you're going to attend the dinner for Awana, please sign up at the Welcome Center so we have enough dinner or enough food for that dinner. Let's go to the Lord together in prayer. Father, I thank you for tonight. I thank you, Lord, that it's today, that it's a great day that you have made, and we can think about when we get to heaven. And as the choir is saying, just the joy in the melody of that song, and Lord, the joy that should be in our hearts. And Lord, as we spend this day thinking about you and talking about your love, there's no greater thing to be thankful for in all this world than the love of God. Because the love of God, it passes understanding, and it gives to each one of us hope and a future. Lord, I thank you for all that you give us. You are the giver of every good and perfect gift. And so to you, Lord, we say thank you. And today, we want to bring praise to your name. So be pleased by the way that we respond with each other today. In your precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Let's take a moment and greet those around us.
mic can't be on because then you'll have to mute that down.
Well, as you're making your way back to your seats this morning, remain standing as we sing this morning.
Let me My strength is failing, the end draws near, and my time has come. Still my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore, forevermore. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. I'll worship Your holy name. I'll worship Your holy name. Lord, I will worship Your holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I'll worship Your holy name. I'll worship Your holy name. Lord, I will worship Your holy morning by morning, new mercies are.
Ushers, come forward.
Let's pray. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, we just thank you for this opportunity we have to give back a portion of what you've given to us. Father, may we see this gift be used for your ministry. We thank you for all you've done to provide for us. And Father, we just ask that you just bless us now as we go into the morning service. Ask you be with pastor as he brings forth the message. And we pray this now in your son's precious and holy name. Amen.
I'm so confused. I know I heard you loud and clear, so I followed through. And somehow I ended up here. I don't want to think I may never understand that my broken heart is a part of your plan. When I tried to pray, all I got is hurt and these four words: Thy will be done, Thy will be done, Thy will be done. I know you're good. This don't feel good right now, and I know you think of things I could never think about. It's hard to count it all joy, distracted by the noise, just trying to make sense of all your promises. Sometimes I gotta stop, remember that you're God, and I am not so. Thy will be done, Thy will be done, Thy will be done. Like a child on my knees, all that comes to me is Thy.
this time we'll dismiss the children to Children's Church. And let's take our Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians 3. In 1988, a 6.8 earthquake almost flattened Armenia, killing over 30,000 people in less than 4 minutes. In the midst of chaos and destruction, a father rushed to his son's school. But instead of a school, he found a shapeless heap of rubble. Imagine what went through his mind as the father started to sift through the rubble to try to find his son. Why would a father dig through a heap of rubble when it looked hopeless and helpless? Well, the father had told his son before his son went to school, "I will always come after you. I will always be there for you." And so the dad began to dig. Other well-meaning parents tried to pull him off, saying, "Listen, you have to accept the facts. Your son's buried, he's dead," but he wouldn't stop. They told him to go home. They told him that his son was dead. They said, "It's too late." The fire chief tried to pull him off of the rubble, but he just kept pulling one piece of concrete after another for 8 hours, 12 hours, 24 hours, 36 hours. And in the 38th hour, he pulled a boulder away and he heard his son's voice saying, "Daddy, is that you?" After they removed the rubble, everyone else joined in. The boy looked at his dad and said, "I told my classmates you'd be here because you said you'd always come after me." That is how our Lord loves us. No matter how deep in the rubble we've been buried, our Lord digs through all of it. Chapter 1 tells us it's his plan to save us. Chapter 2 tells us that he saves us so we can do good works. And now in chapter 3, it tells us about this, it describes a mystery of love. And this mystery of love, it enables us to live like he wants us to. Ephesians 3, verse 1 says, "For this cause, I, Paul, the minister of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote before in a few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body, and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world has been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now, unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places, might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Take a break here from reading. In chapter 1, this was the refrain, that we were predestined unto good works. In chapter 2, we were created unto good works. And all these works start with our faith. And now we come here in chapter 3. This is the eternal purpose verse 11 talks about, which he purposed in Christ Jesus. Now verse 12, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knee unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that works in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. First of all, we see in this passage there's a mystery of the gospel. This mystery of the gospel, it's that Christ was making Gentiles one with himself. In verses 3 through 6, he talks about this mystery, but he puts it in the context that the Gentiles who were far off from God. Now, what does it mean to be a Gentile? All right? In this context, in this sense that it's used here, this word Gentile speaks to all who were not born in Israel, of Israel. Okay? You say, well, who are those people? Well, Abraham, he had many sons. And many sons had Father Abraham. Okay, some of you know that song from your youth. Yes, all right. Well, he had 12 sons, actually. Abraham did not have 12 sons. Abraham had two sons, one of promise, one not of promise. The child of promise, Isaac, he had a son named Jacob. He also had another son named Isaac, Isaac had Jacob and Esau, okay? Jacob was the son of promise. Jacob had 12 sons. They became known as the 12 tribes of Israel. These 12 tribes, we could think of it this way, those were the 12 states of Israel. Not only were they the 12 states, but there was a national heritage. The genealogy, the descendants of Abraham through Isaac through Jacob, and then the 12 sons, they were Israel. Now, anyone that was not born into that family grouping was a Gentile. God made covenants and promises with Israel. And God had a special deal with Israel that Israel failed. And so here's the mystery of the gospel. That the same God who made a covenant with a national people group called Israel, that he would make a covenant with all the other people of the world. And that this covenant would be different than the one he made with Israel, because this covenant now would be by faith. Christ making the Gentile one with himself. Number two, we see in this passage, there was a goal of Paul's work. His goal was to make all men fellowship together in the mystery. Verses 7 through 9. He wanted all men to fellowship in the mystery. What's the mystery? That God would make all people one in himself. So what was Paul's goal? To help all people fellowship in that. That we're all one in Christ. The intent of Paul's work with the mystery was that all powers might be known by the church in God's wisdom. Now, what kind of powers? And later in Ephesians, he's going to talk specifically about some of those powers, that powers that we war against, spiritual powers that are against us. But you know, there are also spiritual powers that are for us. Now, I'm not talking powers like, you know, super strength, the ability to fly, you know, superpowers like that. Teleportation, yeah, superpowers. The superpower that we have is that we have the power of the Most High God, who the Bible tells us his abode or his dwelling is heaven, that the power that he has, he avails, makes ready, or gives to us. Those are the principalities, the powers. They're made available to us. So the intent of Paul working with this mystery that God brings the Gentile into the family, and he makes the Gentile one with Christ, that we can understand that this work that he does, it's known, all the powers are known by the church, and that the church can use the knowledge of those powers to work God's wisdom. Knowledge is to know. Wisdom is to do with what you know. Does that make sense? Knowledge is to know. Wisdom is to apply what you know and work off of that. So he lets us know about all these powers, but then he gives us God's wisdom to use the knowledge of the powers of the heavenly. Letter C, we might be according to God's eternal purposes. What are God's eternal purposes? Well, that we could have boldness and confident access to God by faith. Those are God's eternal purposes for us. That we can have, this word boldness is awesome. You know, you will never find in the scripture where God will speak to a person, Old or New Testament, where he says, I want you to go out and be timid. You know, you're not going to find that. You're not going to find God ever look at one of his children and say, no, I want you to go and be a worrywart. No, he says, I want you to have boldness and confident access to God by faith. That's awesome. See, Christianity is not a religion of hoping. It's a religion of knowing. But it goes beyond knowing. It goes into using the knowledge we have of God to better our lives and others' lives. And how do we implement this? Well, we have boldness when we go to God. We have faith that God hears, answers, and does. And we have confidence in our access to God. When you pray to God, you don't have to be like, oh, God, I hope you hear me. You know, I love Terry's song, Thy Will Be Done. Yeah, we suffer with a lot of timidity in our life. We suffer with a lot of times where we're, oh, we don't know. But you know what? In the end, we have to fall on the fact that God is great. And we should boldly say to him, God, your will be done. Some of us, we say, oh, I don't know if I want God's will to be done because I don't know if it's going to be for me. Well, you're missing out on who God is. Letter D in your bulletin. We might be made stronger in the inner man. This is the goal of Paul's work, that we would be made stronger in the inner man. Now, this is really cool. You know, we've heard it since we were little, probably a lot of us, that, you know, you want to get saved so that Jesus can live in your heart, right? Anybody ever hear that? Actually heard a guy preach against that, and I'm like, you fool, don't preach against that, because here in Ephesians 3, it says that Christ lives where? In our hearts. And part of him living in our hearts is that he can strengthen our inner man. See, some of us are strong on the outside and weak on the inside. And the goal of Paul's work was not that we could just be, okay, I've got enough knowledge and enough faith to get to heaven. No, the goal of God's work and the plan that God had was that we would have enough faith to be strong. And that our inner man inside, we would just be a thriving individual. So you can thrive on the outside and have no joy and no peace. But when you thrive on the inside, you've got it all together. That's how you get it going on. When you're strengthened in the inner man. Letter E. The goal of Paul's work was that Christ might dwell in our hearts by faith. And that's just awesome. And in Ephesians 2, he described that faith. He said, "For by grace are you saved through faith." And then he says, and that participle that goes back to faith, that faith is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. How awesome is that? Chapter 1, he chose us. Chapter 2, he gives us the faith. Chapter 3, we live by that faith. And it makes us strong. Letter F. That we might be rooted and grounded in love. So a lot of things that we could be rooted and grounded in. I'm glad he doesn't say knowledge, because if we're rooted and grounded in knowledge, knowledge can get us puffed up in our minds a little bit. He has us rooted and grounded in love. Now, the love that he has us rooted and grounded in is a different kind of love than anything else that we're going to find anywhere else on this planet. The love that he has us rooted in is the love of God. Let's think for a second. In Matthew 22, Jesus was asked, "What is the greatest commandment?" And Jesus said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your might." And then he said, "And the second is like unto it, love your neighbor as yourself." It's a love that flows from God. God never asks us to love anybody with our own love. We're rooted and grounded in love, not our love. We're rooted and grounded in his love that he distributes to us. And then we're like the pitcher with the hole in it. Anybody have a pitcher with a hole in the bottom of it? You pour water in and it just keeps pouring water out, right? Well, that's what we are with the love of Christ. He pours his love into us and it just seeps out of us to others. Because we're rooted and grounded in his love. Number 3, the mystery helps all saints know the love of Christ. Look with me here at verse 13. He says, "Wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory." Sometimes we look at the struggles that others go through and we think, oh no, you know, I feel bad for them. And you know what? Paul, he was imprisoned because he preached the gospel for the Ephesians so they could get saved. Don't worry about me. Paul's like, I'm good. He says, verse 14, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man." And then look at verse 17. "That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, length, depth, and height, to know the love of Christ." The mystery that God takes the Gentile, makes them one with Christ, brings us into his family. It helps all the saints know. And by the way, if you've trusted Christ as your Savior, you're a saint. Okay? And you go, "No, I've always been told I'm a sinner." No, 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 no. Not anymore. You're still a sinner, but you're a sinner who's been transformed into a saint. Not by your works of righteousness, but by the righteousness of Jesus. That's what salvation is. By grace, you're saved through faith. That faith didn't come from you, it came from God. We know, we can comprehend the love of Christ. Now, this is going to sound like an oxymoron, because in just a second, Paul's going to tell us to the Ephesians, he's going to say, the love of Christ is unknowable. It's beyond comprehension. But he also says that we can comprehend it. So if you're like me, you sit there and you scratch your head and you go, what? How can I know it and not know it? How can it be knowable and unsearchable? Well, here's what he wants us to know about his love. First of all, how wide it is. Psalm 103 in verse 12 says this, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. East, west. How wide is Christ's love? Christ's love is so wide, he takes our sins and separates it from us as far as the east is from the west. East and west will never meet. Our sin is forever separated from us. That's awesome. How wide, it says there, how long that we can know the breadth and the length. How long is Christ's love? Well, I'll tell you this, it lasts forever. Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ Jesus. Height and depth, principalities, powers, wickedness, nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. How long is the love of Christ? It's as far as the east is from the west. And how long does it last? For eternity. We can also know how deep the love of Christ is, the depth of his love. In Micah 7:18, it says this, who is a God like unto you that pardons iniquity and passes by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retains not his anger forever because he delights in mercy. He will turn again. He will have compassion on us. He will subdue our iniquities. You will cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. You know, mankind has still not been able to go to the deepest parts of the ocean. It's an unreachable territory. How deep is Christ's love for us? He passes by our sin. He's able to overlook our sin when we give it to him. And then he takes it and he buries it in the deepest sea. Nobody can ever get to your sin again. How high is the love of Christ. We can know how high his love is. In Psalm 103 and verse 11, it says, for as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. Okay, how much higher than the earth is heaven? It's a trick question. Earth never reaches heaven. Heaven reaches earth. How high is his love for us? Well, it's as high above as the heaven is from the earth. Earth can't touch his love until he brings it to us. Letter E, it's beyond knowing. We can know this about Christ, love. It's beyond knowing. This is the oxymoron, okay? We know that his love is unknowing. In Isaiah 43, verse 25, the Lord says, I, even I, am he that blots out your transgressions for my own sake and will not remember your sins. Why would God forgive me for all the wrong I've ever done? You know why? Because he wants to. Just like when you were a child or when your children were young and they said, but why? And you said, because I said so, right? This is the honest to goodness truth about God. He looks at us, he has so much love for us. He says, all right, bring your sin here. And we say, but why? Why would you want our sin? And he says, because I love you. And so we just trust that love and we say, all right, God, it's yours. I give it to you. And then what he does is he removes it and he gets rid of it. And he doesn't do it for us. He does it for him. Because he's a parent that loves to see his children succeed. He's a parent that hates to see his children struggle in sin. And so he says, bring it to me and I'll get rid of it. Why? Because I love you that much. And see, we think it's all about us. We get so caught up and we sing about, you know, I love the songs that we sing. Great is thy faithfulness to me. Why is God faithful to me? Not for me, for him. He's great. His love is great towards me because it makes him great. How does it make him great? It doesn't matter. It does. And when he is great, you know what that happens to me? You know what happens to you? You are great because he is. And then this boggles my mind here. Look at letter F. He fills us with all the fullness of God. Look at verse 19. And to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. I don't get it, all right? I've read and read and read on it and all these great explanations. You know what the honest to goodness truth is? If I could, just think about this as a parent, for those of you who are parents. If you're not a parent, if you're a kid, you can't relate. But think about this for a second. What would you give so your kid could have the very best? What would you give them? Just think about it for a second. Here's what God does. God says, I'm going to give you the very best. And it's not material. It's very immaterial. He fills us with all. The Greek word there, pas, it's all. You can't say, oh, he's given us some of it. No, it's the entirety. And then the word that he's using for fullness, that he fills us with all the fullness. I mean, it's talking about an all-encompassing. He puts the best that we could possibly have into us. That's how much he loves us. And then the passage ends, verse 20. His love does for us exceedingly abundantly above all our expectations. Above all we could ask or think. See, if God left it up to us and what we thought and what we imagined that we needed, we would have so little given to us. Because we could never imagine the greatness of what we need. And so here's what God does. He gives now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that works in us. That power that gives us everything that we could ask or think, it's already at work in us. And his power works in us, bringing glory to Christ through the church. This is one thing that we're just going to see all throughout every chapter in Ephesians. We're going to see us talked about individually. And then we're going to see us talked about corporately. Because when we have the power of Christ's love working in us individually, it makes a corporate difference in that together we bring glory to Christ. Sure, we bring glory to him individually. But you know when it's the best? When it's corporately, when it's the church together. Ephesians 3 teaches us that the love of Christ does something amazing in us. It teaches us that it is not about who we were, but who we are in Christ. All right, think about it this way. Before you get married, you're a single person. You're an individual. And you kind of march to the beat of your own drum, right? And then you meet that special somebody. And your eyes glaze over, and your heart beats fast, and your palms get sweaty. And all of a sudden, what you do is you make a conscious decision. And this conscious decision that you make is that you will no longer be the independent person who does their own thing, but now what you do is you make a decision that you're going to do your life with someone else. And when you make that decision, what you do is you basically lay your life down so that your life is no longer a single person. It is now two. And that two is going to try its best to function as one. And we call that marriage, right? Well, when Christ saves us, here's what happens. He loves us so much. He was willing to lay down his life. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and he came to earth and took on the form of a servant, became obedient to the cross, and died. So that we could be made one with him. He loves us so much that he was willing to take on a brand new identity. Before he was God, we were man. After Christ came, died on the cross, and rose again, now it is God with man. Christ in us. The love of Christ is so spectacular because he adds us to his identity. As we close out the service, I hope that resonates with you. The love of Christ, it is deep, it is long, it is wide, it is high. You can know it, but you can't understand it. But you know that it's at work inside of you. And it's making a difference every day in your life. If you've never come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you do not have that love living inside of you. You are not part of his family. You are outside of his family. You are still the Gentile that's outside looking in. And what God wants to do with you today is he wants to bring you in. You weren't here this morning to hear this message so that you could go, oh, that's good for them. No, God wants it good for you. And if you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, what he wants to do right now, he just wants you to cry out to him and say, Lord God, forgive me of my sin. Come into my life. Forgive me. Save me. And he will come in. And he will become part of your life. In fact, he'll do more than become part of your life. He'll take over your life. And he'll put that power inside of you and it will go to work. And you'll begin to know the love of Christ. If you're here this morning and you say, well, I'm a Christian, but boy, I haven't been feeling the love. The thing with God's love is not that it ever is diminished towards us. We diminish ourselves towards it. And some of us spend way too much time thinking about who we were before Christ and not who we are in Christ. And this morning, I want to remind you once again who you are in Christ. Let's pray together. Lord God, as we close out this time, if there's anyone here that's never trusted you, I pray that they would do that. Even right now as it's quiet, I pray, Lord, they would just offer their heart up to you, offer their sin up to you. And Lord, you will take it. You will forgive them. And Lord, they can become yours today. And Lord, for those who are already saved, but Lord, they've just been struggling in their relationship with you. They've been forgetting about that great love wherewith you loved us. Lord, maybe they just haven't been thinking about the fact that they can comprehend the width, the length, the depth, the height of your love. God, I just pray that this morning you'd remind us of those things and help us to just fall in love with you all over again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to invite you just to stay seated. If you've trusted Christ as your Savior this morning and you'd like to tell me about it, or you want to trust Christ, I'm going to be standing here at the front. I'd like to invite you to come, give your life to the Lord, or let us know that you have. And if God has spoken to your heart and you need to do business with God, you can pray where you're sitting, or you can come up here and use the front of the church as an altar. But let's be reminded this morning of who we are in Christ Jesus. Don't forget who God is, but also don't forget who you are in Christ. And don't forget who Christ is in you. Lord God, you are great. There is no more we can say this morning that would bring more glory to your name than what you have done. And so, Lord, we praise you for being our Redeemer. We praise you for being the one who loved us while we were sinners and for dying for us when we were dead in our trespass and sin. And thank you, Lord, for giving us life. And in this life, Lord, you give us the ability to live for you. And so, God, to you be praise and glory, world without end, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.